Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Every summer in Chicago, the sunshine spotlights the city's spectacular skyline. Its luxurious lakeshore, marvelous monuments, and the over 200 neighborhoods in the city. And it also brings to light two of the greatest sports franchises in the world. On the north side, it's the Cubs. On the south side, it's the White Sox. This is Crosstown Crosstalk.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 7 of Crosstown Crosstalk, presented by the Barroom Network. My name is Vinny.
And I'm Joey.
And if the fans aren't fading your Stanley Cup picks by now, they're just missing out on all sorts of money opportunities.
Oh, I know. It's been a bad year for me predicting the Stanley Cup playoffs. Every team, every series, every team, I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
And people who join probably wanting baseball talk, we just go right back into hockey after yesterday's show.
Yeah, so if you don't listen on Wednesdays for our hockey banter, make sure you're tuning in every Wednesday.
Absolutely, and do the exact opposite of what Joey says on any your betting app.
I mean, it's kind of what I've been doing lately. Like I said on the show yesterday, I was, you know, Vegas was going to force game 7. I flip. If you're listening today, Montreal tonight.
Now everybody knows to take Vegas on the road.
Yeah, but I said Vegas yesterday. So do you fade yesterday's pick or today's pick?
Whatever you're thinking right now is what I'm fading. But we have a very special guest today. We're going to talk about some baseball with a colleague of mine. I was told I can call him colleague, which makes me feel so cool. It's Mark Carmen of WGN Radio, the Fansided Network, and of course, the Doe Windy City podcast. Mark, how are we doing today?
Vinny and Joey, it is my pleasure to be here. And yeah, hockey talk, baseball talk, you want to go NBA playoffs, Milwaukee's disaster last night. I'm all in, baby. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely. It's great to have you. So I think me and Joey both kind of agreed that we were going to start off with the major topic in baseball right now. And that's the sticky stuff and guys getting checked and stripping down to their boxers mid-inning. What's your take on all this nonsense?
See, I think at the end of the day, it's important to remember we are in the toy department. I am here to be entertained. And especially when it's not my team. So Sergio Romo, Max Scherzer, Joe Girardi, people just, you know, getting naked on the field or one step before it. I am here for the entertainment of all of it. I mean, it's just completely ridiculous. I don't know what a better way is. I hate the fact that we tend to live as a society. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But clearly that's what we do. That's what baseball has done forever. This is the new level. And I want the ball in play. I want pitchers to stop doing what they're doing. I think Ryan Tepera is cheating his balls off. Maybe he's not. I have no idea. How did you get so good, non-tendered and all, and coming back and now like one of the best relievers in baseball? And maybe I'm wrong. I hope I am. But I want the game to be as above board as possible, and I'm finding this to be kind of comical and entertaining at the same time. That was a long answer for you, Vinny.
Hey, I couldn't agree more.
No, we like the long answers, especially. What do you think about, like, we saw Tyler Glasnow talk about last week with, he used it as a reason, like, about now he needs to change up his grip. He needs to hold the ball harder. What do you think about that?
I think that Tyler is got to check himself. Dude, you were cheating. And if you want to register a complaint with Major League Baseball about the actual baseballs, okay, I guess, but this is a guy that seems to be trying to create a distraction to the fact that the reason he's been successful is below board. So I think Tyler and company can have some level of argument that doing this in the middle of the season is unfair and they should have had time to prepare for their new reality. I think you can have that argument and it would be mostly correct, but you still don't have a whole lot big leg to stand on when you are cheating. You're cheating. This is not, there's no gray area here, at least not to me. Maybe to Tyler there is, but I don't get it. You got to do some significant mental gymnastics to get there, and I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah, so I think having everybody on an even playing field is where I'm at. So if they have like one substance that like everybody can use, like they're allowed to use rosin, but as Trevor Bauer showed in his video, when you mix rosin with sweat, the baseball will stick to your hand. So if the umpire comes and checks you, they're going to feel sticky stuff, even though it's rosin. And then we all sweat when we play baseball. So I think being on a level playing field is certainly the ultimate goal.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not an expert in rosin sweat composition and everything else that they're using pine tar and the ways in which these guys who do this for a living have manipulated the products to be better at their craft. So I'm sure there's a lot of ways in which Trevor Bauer, who's a very smart guy and he's not afraid to give his opinion on anything or throw a baseball into the stands or pitching or pitch with one eye open. All of it. I love Trevor Bauer, mm-hmm. But I'm sure there are quote unquote within the game legal ways to do this, but that's not what we're talking about. That's not the actual problem here. So I'm not exactly sure what Trevor's trying to get out of that. What is overall like? What are you fighting for, Trevor? What exactly do you want going forward? And he's made a ton of dough in the game. He's I would assume with no product would still be a very effective pitcher. But we also do see the spin rates on Trevor's. He is one of the guys who certainly looks like he's using. Same thing with Garrett Cole. Same thing with you, Darvish. So I'm fascinated to see how this plays out. By the way, like who is actually as good as their numbers have been the last couple of years? To me, that's fascinating.
Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like, if you didn't look at the numbers, you're like, that dude's got to be cheating. You got an ERA under one, but he's not, which is insane. So good for him.
Yeah, so I want to ask you about kind of the White Sox pitching a little bit here, and that's Lucas Giolito. And, we've seen his play kind of dip in the past few games. He hasn't gotten a win since May 30th over Baltimore. Are you worried about his play, or does it have anything to do with the sticky stuff we're talking about, or –
I still have a very small level of concern with Lucas just because of how his career started. I mean, he was so bad, worst ERA in baseball bad, and then all of a sudden he was so good. Now, a lot of pitchers have started out like that. There's a long line of guys who came in the league and struggled and then got really good. Greg Maddux won, 355 games, and he was not great as a rookie with the Cubs. So it's been done a million times. But I still, since I was, watching it up close with Lucas, I've still always just wondered, like, are we sure that this is the guy, that this is truly a number one starter? I mean, I think it's one of the interesting things with the White Sox, by the way. If the playoffs started right now, who starts game one? And, I asked when I was doing some White Sox pre and post on for NBC Sports Chicago, which was awesome. Thank you, NBC Sports. Great to be in there. There's different answers. Ozzie's not starting Lucas in game one. Scott Bocednik is. So I think the White Sox are good enough to win the World Series despite their, series with Houston and splitting with the Pirates. But I think a lot of wins are about to come quickly right now when you look at the schedule. More importantly, guys are going to get healthy, and I think they'll be there. But do you have that dominant guy? And to rewind back to your question, Joey, with Lucas. I mean, he changes motion. I think that's the biggest reason why he's much more consistent in the zone. But I do wonder, when you look at the numbers, whether he's going to be impacted.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say back to what you said about, whoever would start in that game one. Me and Vinny kind of always talked about over the past few weeks that it's situational. You can really pick almost anyone. and they can be a give you a solid start in a playoff series.
That's true, which is good, but you also you really do want a dominant dude, right? Like this is the guy. He's going to win game one. He's going to win game seven. That's happening. If we get a couple of runs, we're going to win the ball game. And I'm not saying they don't have enough pitching, but they don't have that guy, at least in my mind, not yet.
Yeah, the thing that concerns me with Lucas is his catcher. James McCann left, and now they have to use Zach Collins every time he pitches, even if it's a mismatch. You saw it in the first Pirates series or first Pirates game of the series. Yasmani Grandal pinch hits. It's a clear pitching or hitting advantage for Grandal over Collins in that game, but they had to use the mismatch in Collins offensively to make Giolito happy. So that is something that concerns me. He misses James McCann.
Yeah, and the way that one played out is if they could rewind back, I don't think they give Grandal the money they gave him. Maybe they give it to McCann or a lot less of it to McCann before he ever gets to be a free agent and lands in New York. Clearly, James had a tremendous impact on Lucas, and I love rewinding all the way back to when he got over. He's like, dude, we knew when I was in the Tigers dugout, when you acted like that we had you. So stop doing that because it ain't good for you and it ain't good for the ball club. Zach's actually gotten much better behind the plate. I mean, he was awful, and now he's at least competent. But it is a downgrade, obviously, from when Lucas was on the mound last year. I'm rooting for Zach, by the way, a lot. That guy, he's a great dude.
Yeah. Caught a no hitter.
Yeah, and exactly. And so you got to be doing something right. The Yasmani thing is what's the word I'm looking for? Irritating. There's a word. Because sometimes when he's back there, it does not appear that he's giving his best effort.
That makes sense.
You know, I think, you know, whatever, we can talk about his batting average too, which is embarrassing a little bit, but overall in today's baseball, he gets on, he comes up with big hits. He's still a threat at the plate. You forget about the average, but like behind the plate, sometimes it looks like you're trying and sometimes it looks like you're super tired and just disinterested.
Yeah. And like you said, he's kind of a modern day, like, great hitter, Yasmani, just because people mainly look at OPS and slugging percentage and on-base percentage. So, I mean, and the fact that the actual batting average has climbed over the last, 3 or 4 weeks now, it hopefully a good sign.
Well, it was hard for it not to climb, right? I mean,
that was 120. Yeah. Like,
I mean, it was bound to happen. When I'm watching the games, it's interesting if you listen to Steve Stone closely, not even that closely, if you just pay attention to what he's saying, there's just a little bit of digs, just very clear. That's not exactly the way you want to try to block the baseball, like that type of stuff. And so, okay, it's not just me and every other White Sox fan sitting here. There's a guy who knows the game pretty well, and he's pointing out very obvious things that at times Grandal is not doing.
For sure.
Yeah, so I want to ask about kind of a little bit beyond this season. You mentioned the White Sox maybe not having that guy yet on the mound. I want to ask you your take on Michael Kopech and what you see from him in the future. Can he be that guy for the Chicago White Sox?
I'm not trading Michael Kopech. I'm going to wait and find out. So I was doing the Rush over at NBC Sports Chicago. I was getting a lot of mentions on this podcast, but that was their question yesterday with Cap. Like, would you trade Michael Kopech for, let's say you could get Trevor Story, premier shortstop, play him at second base, and figure it out from there? I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's even if you're getting a big time guy who's not necessarily under contract. So, you know, listen, the upside talent is just too high there. However, it is a little concerning that he has not been able to stay on the field. And the latest injury is just odd. I think the White Sox are right to take their time. But it was just you wonder why is that happening in seemingly a very routine situation, not going to cover first base. He's just throwing a baseball. I know that as a reliever, the hole that you step into changes, and there's that, but that play rarely happens. And the fact that it happened to Kopech is just, concerning is a little word. Gentlemen, I got to get my computer charger. I'll be back in 1 second. Can you hang with me?
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay.
Take your time.
While Carmen is charging his computer or getting his charger, you know, I agree with what he says about Michael Kopech because he's such a premier talent, and I'd rather plug and play a second baseman than I know Trevor Story is amazing, right? Like, he's so good. But if you put him at second, is that really going to change everything for the White Sox? Like, they can pitch themselves out of the injuries that they've had to the offensive players. And, you know, I used to say Michael Kopech's the next Jacob DeGrom, and I was just using based on his, like, style and the way he pitches and with the wipeout pitch and all that. I don't know if a 0.5 ERA in June is ever necessarily in his future because that's just unrealistic. But, I mean, I'm kind of with Carm and you because I know you probably share the same feeling as me. I'm not trading Kopech for much because even if he turns out to be like Clevinger, who's just a real quality, like, frontline rotation guy, it's hard to move guys like that for position players.
Oh, yeah. And we all know, like, how highly I think of him. I've talked about it a lot on this show. I think he definitely could be that one, that guy who ends up being the number one starter for an organization.
Yeah.
Well, and even if he's not a number one, like, let's just say he's in the role that he's in. Dynamic bullet out of the bullpen that you can use for multiple innings. That is an enormous asset in today's baseball.
I think of Andrew Miller when he was on the Indians playing against the Cubs in the World Series, like that type of reliever.
Yeah, but with you know, more overpowering stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But just to play the devil's advocate for a second, I do wonder if perhaps we're getting a little enamored with the high-end talent and not exactly the production that's going on here. But it's just super hard to punt on a guy like that right now in his career.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when you have guys like Garrett Crochet and Jared Kelly in the organization, you would think teams would consider guys like that if the White Sox, like, deeply wanted to keep Kopech.
They have assets to move, for sure. But if I'm calling up the White Sox and you know, and I'm giving a major talent, hey, Andrew Vaughn, Michael Kopech, I suppose I'm probably interested in Nick Madrigal. That seems to be a little bit more of an eclectic taste, perhaps. But I love Nick. I'm a fan of a guy who doesn't strike out and just old school. Give me base hits. Hit a home run once or twice a year. I'm down. I'm a Nick Madrigal fan.
Well, how do you feel about Yermín Mercedes? We saw some magic from him early in the year, and then, you know, lately it's just hasn't really been there. So where do you stand on him right now?
So I'm going to be unfair here, Joey, but sometimes there is a reason when you haven't got an opportunity until you're 28. So I think we're starting to see some of that. And when you're carrying 60 extra, 70 extra, 100 extra, I mean, that ain't great. And I know it's not the NBA or the NHL, but it does make me at least slightly question your work ethic, your commitment. And there's been a lot of fat guys in baseball who have been excellent.
Yeah.
Cecil Fielder was a great player. Babe Ruth wasn't exactly in great shape, maybe the greatest player to ever play the game. So it can work, but it makes me wonder about Yermín. And if you watch him right now, he's got like a different leg kick pretty much each pitch. Sometimes he's way up. Sometimes he's flat. Sometimes he's just trying to put it in play. It seems like he's searching, and that's a tough place to be. So I'm not 100% sold that he's going to get out of this and be the player he was early in the year.
Yeah. And when he gets to two strikes, he doesn't leg kick at all. So, I mean, which that could be used as, you know, the two strike tactic, choke up on the bat and get wood on it. But when Eloy comes back, you have to figure that Mercedes, his time as a starter is probably done.
Yeah. Assuming that Eloy's healthy and is producing, he's going to get less and less at bats. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. If he, gets hot again, he can be the DH, mm-hmm. but, or you like it. Well, regardless, he still has an opportunity to grab it, but it's definitely starting to slip. That's for sure.
Yeah, when Eli comes back, do you see him going to that DH spot, or do you see him giving him another shot in the outfield?
It's tough.
I have backed Eloy. Like, it's too early in his career to make him a DH, but this year, he's not. I don't think he's going to be quote unquote 100%. And there's just too many things, right? All of a sudden you're falling into the net and you can't get up. Now you're hanging over the wall. Now you're crashing into the wall. Now you're karate kicking the wall. I don't understand how this is so difficult. My overriding philosophy in baseball is do not play hard. I mean, people, it's 162 games. Fans hate it, but I don't need you sprinting 1,000 miles an hour down to first base. I need you on the field. Like Nick Madrigal thing, that was a tapper with two outs in an inning. I have no problem with him going 70% down the line and living to play another day. It's counterintuitive and it's got terrible optics. But Eloy, stay away from the fence, stay away from the netting, catch what you're supposed to catch, and balls that roll to the wall, go up, pick it up, get it in. That's a double. I'm not expecting you to make diving plays across, left center into the corner. Now, if you're Adam Engel, I expect it. And I'm not worried about you getting hurt because you're Adam Engel and you're a fourth outfielder, ideally. And I like Adam Engel a lot.
Yeah.
But for a guy like Eloy who gets paid to put the, hit the ball out of the ballpark, I just, it's kind of amazing. And I appreciate that he's got pride and wants to do well, but just it's amazing that he hasn't really honed in on what his actual skills are. But yeah. I'd still put him back out there is my answer.
Yeah, the thing I've always worried about with him when he's playing the outfield is not only hurting himself, which we've seen him do already, is hurting someone else. I'd hate to see him run into like Luis Robert or Tim Anderson and hurt one of those guys along with himself. I don't hate the idea of him playing DH, at least the remainder of this season when he comes back. But we'll see.
Yeah, that's a very fair point.
Luis Robert is such a good center fielder too, that if you tell Eloy, dude, you stay in this bubble, stay in this square, and let Luis do everything else, it would work.
He's got a low key ego though, Vinny, on it. He wants to play yeah. The outfield too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's stated that he's not sure if he'd be as good of a hitter if he was taken out and, just DHing the whole time. Some guys have that. The DH is almost like a mindset too. But you got to coach him to not try and rob home runs in a spring training game. That's just got to not happen.
Isn't that amazing? You have to be coached to not do that?
Yeah.
Dude, don't do that.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I would think that you could hang on the left field wall and not rip your shoulder apart. But in the case of Eloy, apparently you can't. And what are you doing? Come on, man. And again, I like Eloy. He's a fun guy. Every time you see him, he's smiling. Go, Eloy. But that is just
– I don't know if there's been a more hated, lovable player in the history of the White Sox. Because like you said, he's just he makes you want to claw your eyeballs out. But he's so good, and they need those at-bats from him in the lineup so bad. They probably win at least one of those Houston games. I know Houston thoroughly outplayed them, but there might have been a time where Eloy came up with a runner on second and third, and maybe instead of Yermín Mercedes batting 128 in that situation, it's Eloy hitting 302 or something. He's a premier bat that they need.
His homer against the Cubs is the highlight of the rebuild.
Absolutely, so far.
I mean – hands down, best moment. Oh my God, the White Sox are good, and the Cubs aren't. And Eloy's trotting around the bases at Wrigley Field on the team that traded with the White Sox, along with Dylan Cease for Jose freaking Quintana.
Yeah, number three.
Yeah.
At best.
At least with the Cubs.
Speaking of the Cubs, where are you at on them? Because they kind of gave everybody a nauseating feeling early in the season. Then they got white hot. And then now they're kind of starting to come back down to earth a little bit as we wind down June. So what are the Cubs? They're the hardest team in the league to kind of dissect for me.
I'm a buyer, And mainly because I have so much respect for Chris Bryant, number one, mm-hmm. and the people that were attacking KB. He's not clutch. He's not clutch. He was the rookie of the year. He was the MVP. They won the World Series. He had a home run in game five when they hadn't scored and they looked at left for dead against Cleveland. He's come through 1,000 times. He plays third, first, left, right, center. This guy, and he's perfect off the field. It bothers me that how much of a negative narrative there was around that dude, and the concept that the Cubs don't have the money to pay him is just disgusting. You own the entire neighborhood. The building, the Cubs are worth $4 billion. You can pay a premier player like Chris Bryant at the back end of his prime. It's just ridiculous. I don't think they're good enough to and Joel Mandel, I'm seeing he's a huge trade chip. I don't know if he is. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Like,
what do you want for a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, in an ideal world, though, if you told me that the Cubs could trade Chris Bryant and get what they deem to be an incredible return, not the return they got for Yu Darvish, not a top 10 guy on the Padres, which, by the way, I didn't hate that trade at the time either for the Cubs. But if you told me that you could get a phenomenal deal for KB and then your conversation with is like, hey, Chris, look, right now with our starting pitching, we don't think we have enough to win this year. We're going to give you a chance to win the World Series this year with X team, and we will be at the top of the market, whatever it is in the offseason, to bring you back. That's like win-win, cake and eat it too, right? If you could pull that off. I don't know if their relationship with Chris is good enough that he would actually do that. But that would, if you could just script it, it'd be even greater than when the Yankees trade Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs for Gleyber Torres and they go back, they just bring Chapman back.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you think so obviously your team re-signed KB, but when you got Javi and Rizzo up at the end of this year, and then there's Wilson Contreras next year. People have Craig Kimbrell in their trade conversations just because he's had such a resurgence this year. I mean, you said they're buyers, or you would buy, but kind of a hard one.
Yeah, I don't know if I would buy, and I would listen on Kimbrell. What are you willing to give me for Craig Kimbrell? I'm not giving him away, but if it's a deal that makes sense, okay, Ryan Tapera, you're the closer. You've been unbelievable, and we'll figure out the sixth and the seventh, which maybe they won't figure it out. It'll be a nightmare. But I would listen on Kimbrell. And yeah, you're right, Vinny. They're not going to have the money to pay all of them. But I would prioritize Bryant over Baez for sure.
I would too.
I just think he plays better long term. Javi, he's just not there. Chris is 1 year older. Javi's not. I don't think physically, and Chris has had a bunch of injuries, but I think that body lasts longer than what Javi's going to have to do. I mean, Javi puts his body through a lot to be successful. So that swing is violent. So I'm not sure that long-term that's going to be something that is sustainable.
I also think the versatility with Chris is a huge upside to, sticking with him.
100%, right? Okay, we don't need you to play third this year. We need you at left because this free agent came available. We thought that was a good value, so we're going to – that's a huge, huge part of his value for sure.
It affects the starting lineup too because as versatile as he is defensively, you could put him in a bunch of different spots in the batting order too.
Right. Hit you second, hit you third, get you down. Yeah. Want to lead off for a little while. I wouldn't put him there, but he could.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, before we let you go, we're going to switch gears just a little bit. I want to know your take on what's going on at Halas Hall with Justin Fields and Andy Dalton and all this stuff going into camp. Matt Nagy saying this about Andy Dalton. The fans want that about Justin Fields. Where are you on the quarterback competition and your prediction on how it's going to go?
Just whatever they do, don't do it based on how Andy Dalton is going. Let Dalton start. That's fine with me. And if he sucks, that's not going to be the time that you say, Justin Fields, you're ready. If Justin Fields is killing it in training camp, killing it in practice, understands the offense, knows what he's seeing when he steps up to the line of scrimmage, and it's obvious, then even if Dalton's playing great and they're winning, I'd be down for them playing him. So to me, it's all about Fields. Like, everything else is completely secondary. The way they – and I'm not saying Mitchell Trubisky would have been a good quarterback if they had handled it differently, but the way they did it, oh, no, we completely messed up. Mike Glennon is an utter disaster. So now in week four, we're going to play Mitch, when that guy was never elite as far as comprehending the offense or what he was seeing. He needed as much time as you possibly could have given him. And the Bears basically gave him no time. Fields, by all accounts, is this really smart guy who is going to pick things up quicker, and he's got supreme level talent. There is one bit of question, like, if he is this good, why did he slide? But they miss on quarterbacks all the time. So
that I think guy in Kansas City's doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he went 12th or 10th, and Watson went 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Dan Marino was at the bottom of the first round in 83, and there was a 7 zillion quarterbacks like Tony Eason taken in front of him. So
Aaron Rodgers,
right? I mean, Tom Brady. There's a million of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. But just I this is where you have to trust, which is hard to do. But like the Bears being able to evaluate when exactly he is ready, which you got the shiny new toy, you're going to want to let it play. But I also think for their own job security, it might be slightly better if he doesn't play for a little while. And you play him at the end of the year. And so however many games you won during the season has no impact on whether they stay or go. Although I still don't think that there's any motivation from Ted Phillips to George McCaskey to Virginia or whoever's doing anything over there to get rid of those two guys. I think they really like Matt Nagy. I think they really like Ryan Pace.
Yeah, so we got a question from one of our listeners, Santiago. He wants your opinion on if you think Matt Nagy is a good head coach.
No, I don't. I think that Matt Nagy would be a great special teams coach. I think he has lots of energy. I can't listen to Matt Nagy. Well, I can, and I do, but I don't like listening to him speak.
No one does.
it's just that's the head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just last year when he was celebrating the team plane. I don't know if you remember that, but I got so keyed in. The plane ride was just so awesome. You know, some guys read and some guys sleep and some guys are eating and there's other guys that watch a movie. I'm like, is this high school? Like what is going on here? Like, I think he would be, honestly, I think he'd be like a great high school coach or, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. High school coaches have a really important job, and I care, you know, care a ton about the youth of America, and give me somebody good down there. I don't think – and the fact that he's taking play calling back this year is preposterous. Dude, know your lane.
Yeah.
You are not the expert play caller. You are the rah-rah guy. Be the rah-rah guy. That's your role. That's the best thing you can do. And maybe it's not sexy, but lean into it and be an amazing rah-rah guy, and maybe you'll be able to keep your job for a long time.
Yeah, I know what you're saying about when he talks, too, because he'll be like, I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot. And then the next week they throw the ball 40 times.
Yeah, so, well, like, here we are with this and with that.
I actually do think you're an idiot, Matt, like, because you keep not running the ball. But that's not here nor there.
Well, and just have a presence. Like, I don't know. There's something missing. It's not surprising, by the way, like the Bears' likelihood that front office is going to identify the right young hot coach who's never done it. And I'm all for giving guys an opportunity, but you're not the ones that are able to assess who is actually going to be really good at that once they're promoted. And he was an offensive coordinator for 3 weeks. I mean, you know, it wasn't something that he was killing for an endless amount of time or years on end. So, by the way, I think I'm sure he's a very nice guy. He seems like he's a great dad to his four kids. I got nothing against him personally at all. That'd be ridiculous. So, but I just don't think he's great. I think we got it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with 100%. Couldn't agree with you more. Joe, you got anything left for Mark before we let him go?
I think this was awesome. Thank you so much for giving us this 30 minutes or so of your time to talk, you know, baseball and a little bit of football with us.
Joey, Vinny, it was my pleasure. Keep killing it. Good luck with the pod. Congratulations on having it, and have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Is there anything you want to promote before you head out?
Oh, hey, thank you. Feel free. Check out the Windy City Podcast. Check out at the Carmen. By the way, my TikTok.
Ooh.
It's my go. It's that the Carmen on TikTok. I haven't posted in like 2 weeks because I've been seven things going. That's an excuse. I've been slacking on TikTok. I got to get back at it. I enjoy that platform a lot. So, yeah, I appreciate it, guys. And
FanSided is a great place. I'm happy that it got to bring us together as, you know, coworkers and friends and all that kind of stuff. And we were happy to have you.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
Absolutely, everybody. That's Mark Carmen at the Carmen on Twitter. Make sure you follow all his stuff. And we'd like to send you to a quick commercial break.
Look, I don't mean any disrespect. He just didn't play that well. Not for a guy of his caliber.
If they don't run the ball here, I'm going to vomit. I swear to God.
I don't really have any recollection of that at all, but I guess perhaps I blacked it all out.
You know, they won, but I'm going to be miserable all week because they stunk.
Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Mark Carmen, WGN, FanSided, the Windy City Podcast, and sometimes a host on NBC Sports Chicago when our Chuck Garfine, is not in studio.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, he knows his shit, and obviously, and he's a fun person to talk to. I would love to have him back, and very easy conversation.
Absolutely. Mark's good people. We can't thank him enough for coming on. And, you know, anybody who loves and appreciates baseball, someone who we get along with pretty much no matter what, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. And I pretty much agree with majority of the stuff he says, especially about, like, Eloy playing left and stuff. And, like, that was – I'm glad we got on the topic of that.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of Eloy, the White Sox, 5-game losing streak going into yesterday. They were swept in Houston. And a lot of things people don't realize, they lost to Pittsburgh in game one. They were 23 and 6 against teams under 500 going into that game. So losing it just proved they were in a slump. Like they weren't playing well, excuse me. And, you know, that's the way it is. Sometimes you go through those stretches. They climbed out of it yesterday. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week that going into that Houston series, especially in Houston, was going to be tough. You had them at 2-2. I said 3-1. I was, you know, I suck at predicting. We all know that by now.
Hashtag fade Joey.
Yeah. But we did say it was going to be tough. I was picking with my heart, and I was wrong. The Astros just outplayed the Chicago White Sox. And it's a mix. I think it's a mix of the Astros being good. I believe they're the best team in baseball now, and the White Sox slumping. So we'll see where to go from here. The injuries are kind of starting to show a little more than they did, like, you know, when they first happened, but we'll see how they get out of it. I'm not too worried about the Chicago White Sox one bit. It happens.
Yeah, I agree. Everything I said about them with the losing streak and like the loss to Pittsburgh just kind of proves it was them being in a slump and things not going well. Well, the Astros are also winners of 10 straight. Mm-hmm. So going into that series, they were hot. Coming out of that series, they were hot. It was a good hot team against a good cold team, and the good hot team prevailed.
Yeah, it's not like you're getting swept against, like, the Twins. You know, we got them coming up.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay went and got swept by Seattle.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to happen, especially when you play an elite team like Houston. They are no joke this year. So.
And people like to rip on the White Sox for their record against teams over 500. It's not too far off from the other elite teams' records against teams being over 500. Just at or above, slightly above 500 themselves against those teams.
Yeah.
So would you make a move?
If I'm the White Sox?
Yes.
I would not.
Base.
I would not, because what are you going to – what are you really going to do? Are you going to get a rental move player? Because guys are going to come back. They're going to have their good lineup. And their pitching really isn't anything to freak out about. Like, guys are going to have bad games. I would not really do much, no.
I see. I personally would add a second baseman. Just because the guys they have to replace Nick Madrigal aren't the same. Like, Andrew Vaughn's fine and left. I don't hate the combination of Leury Garcia and Brian Goodwin for now. And Luis Gonzalez had his first major league hit yesterday in right and left, right and center field for now. We hope we get Eloy back soon. We hope we get Robert back, you know, somewhat soon. But if they traded for one more outfielder and a second baseman, I wouldn't hate it too much. I'm probably not going for too much pitching, though.
Yeah, I guess the Grandal injury. Her Madrigal injury. Madrigal injury. You know, I always mix up the two.
I was like, what?
Yeah, the you know, I always mix up the two L last names. The Madrigal injury, that I guess that kind of, you know, hurts your infield depth a little bit. So a second baseman, but if the price is too high, like I say, no. I mean, what would they have to give up for an average second baseman?
If they went for someone like Adam Frazier or Eduardo Escobar, which I do think they're going to do. They're not just going to stand pat. There's no way that you are 14 games over 500 with a lead in the division and the teams behind you aren't that good. And the only team that you're necessarily worried about now in the playoffs would be Houston. And if you could figure out a way to beat them, I mean, seasons like this just don't happen every year. So if they traded for one of those guys, I wouldn't be too surprised. I'm assuming it would cost a top 10 prospect, but on the lower end, and, you know, maybe some in the, you know, the top 20 or whatever. If they gave up a Jake Berger, maybe, it depends on who they get back. If it's someone like Adam Frazier, I would totally do it. Eduardo Escobar is having a pretty good year. His 15 home runs would actually lead the White Sox. Not a lot of people realize that. And then there's, you know, just a bunch of different options. Trevor Story's name is out there to be traded, but he's a shortstop. He's probably a top five shortstop in the game, but they're not moving Tim Anderson. So he would come over and play second base, which is fine. But good pop in his bat. You could honestly take on Charlie Blackman's whole contract if you acquire Trevor Story, because then it would probably be cheaper in terms of value given up. So those are the things I would look towards.
So these would be like more of rental pieces, you're saying?
Yeah, it depends. Frazier, I think, would be a little more than a rental. But, you know, you never know what happens. Who's to say the injuries are done even? And I'm not trying to speak that into existence, but when your pitching is as good as it is right now and you have the record that you have with the All-Star break looming and the teams behind you, like Minnesota, I'm not worried about them anymore. Cleveland is right there. But, you know, I like the spot the White Sox are in right now. And I'm not even slightly worried after that little bad stretch against the Astros, because they have a good schedule coming up here. I agree with Carm. There should be a fair amount of wins coming up here in short order.
Yeah. We got, you know, I don't know if we want to get into previewing it now, but.
Yeah. The only other thing I was going to talk about, because we talked about pitching, was Yasmani Grandal. We talked about it with Carm.
Yeah.
You know, he had the 120 average for a while, and now it's leaning up towards 170, mm-hmm. which is certainly not good. But his on-base percentage is elite. He's a major league leader in walks. His OPS is high because of his slugging percentage, because most of his hits are from singles and doubles and no triples, but home runs. And he always seems to come up with a clutch home run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, down 2-0, and he hits a 3-run bomb straightaway center. And, you know, now they're winning 3-2. Now they let Pittsburgh come back and win that game, but certainly not Yasmani's fault. I don't know. I think the guy's starting to heat it up.
Definitely starting to heat it up. In his past week, he's 6-for-19 with 6 hits, 5 RBIs, and he's got that home run. So, you know, the bat's coming along in this last week or so, regardless of the amount of wins they've gotten. Frankie says magical.
Yeah, I kind of like that nickname. Why did anybody call him that?
I've never heard that before. He must have just came up with that.
Yeah, it's like when they call Leury Garcia Leury legend. I kind of like that.
Maybe it made that home run made him hit an over.
Yeah, fair enough. For those who don't know, Frank Mueller's a pal of ours, and you could check him out. He also works for Fansided himself. We'd love to get him to – he's a Twitch streamer, so we'd like to get him some Twitch followers. Maybe he'll put it in the chat and promote himself a little bit. But, you know, I think Grandal, the sky's the limit. They paid him a lot of money, but I don't know. Carm said they probably wouldn't pay him. Maybe they would. I don't know. What do you think of him?
I like him. You know, lately I've seen good stuff. There's kind of a recency bias with his bat. But you know how much of a fan I was of James McCann. Like, I was a big McCann fan, and I don't know. I like McCann better than Zach Collins, and I'm kind of on the fence with Grandal. So obviously it all changes if they, you know, win the World Series. You love that roster no matter what. But
yeah, did you make a bad move if you won the World Series? Like, the Cubs are paying for Jason Hayward right now. He kind of stinks, but like, they won the World Series in year one of having him. So
yeah,
no, with the Chapman trade, there are people that like the trade because when Chapman came in, the game was over. But like, you know,
I think it's just more so. Cameron. I think it's just more so for me. I just really like McCann.
Yeah, I mean McCann, but I look at what he's doing with the Mets, and I'm not overly impressed. So his batting average is better than Grandal's, but yours probably would be too.
If McCann was still on the White Sox and the pitching was the same, but Giolito was pitching how he was last year, would you want McCann right now?
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, it's an interesting thing to look at.
But it also kind of speaks volumes about Giolito, though, if he needs one specific cat. Like, do you think Jacob DeGrom cares? DeGrom does not use McCann. He uses Nito.
I do think, though, every like a pitcher will
have a preference.
A guy that they like to work with. We saw John Lester win a World Series with only David Ross behind the plate.
Yeah.
So, and we saw him do that twice. There's a reason David Ross went to Chicago after the Red Sox when John Lester, you know, got this hat.
Yeah.
No, he got my other hat, my 2013 hat.
Absolutely.
So he got my 2013 hat, and then he had David Ross behind him. Then he goes and wins it with Chicago and gets that one in 16. So David Ross was right there with him.
Yeah, I'm with you. So they got the Mariners and the Twins coming up, both at home, and they're at 100% capacity. We're going to be there on Friday and Saturday. We encourage everyone to come say hello. What do you think of this upcoming series?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun, especially if it doesn't rain, because like you said, we'll be at the Friday and Saturday game. Looking forward to that. And I'm excited. We got Rodon. We just saw Rodon on Friday's game. Mm-hmm. So he's been great this year, obviously. I believe it'll be our first time seeing him. And then Lance Lynn on Saturday. So we've seen him once or twice now.
Lance Lynn, yeah.
We saw Lance Lynn twice. Keuchel on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then is this a 4-game series or three? Only three, right?
3-3 with Minnesota.
Yeah, and the Cubs have a 4-game. So I like the Mariners and then the Twins. I like those as well. So I definitely agree with Mark Carmen that, you know, if there's a time to put a string of wins together, it's up in this 6-game stretch.
Yeah. So what would you make? What would you say their record if we're going to keep tally for next week?
Yeah, I'll write those down. I'm going 2-1 both ways.
Yep. Same.
You can't copy me. Can't copy me.
Fine.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, you're right. They're going to sweep the Mariners and then go 2-1 against the Twins. So 5-1 in the stretch. I like the pitching matchups against the Mariners. So I definitely think with Rodon, you know.
Are you saying they sweep the Mariners?
Yeah, I'll go with they sweep the Mariners because if you look at the pitching matchups, the White Sox, you know, they got.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like that a lot.
The best Mariner pitchers going against Rodon, who's the best White Sox pitcher of the group so far this season. So
Seattle is, I would say, on the hotter side, though. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games, and one of their losses, one of those two losses is the recent one.
Yeah, they swept the Rays, who are good.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not saying to take Seattle lightly, but this is a time for the White Sox, especially coming after that Astros series and the 1-1 with Pittsburgh. This is definitely a time to – to figure it out and bounce back.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the fact that it'll be at 100% capacity at home should really help. I definitely think players enjoy having full stadiums. We've seen it across baseball teams get a little bit of a boost. I mean, you saw what it was like at Wrigley Field when they enhanced it to 100% capacity for the first time. The White Sox had to wait a little extra long or extra time because, you know, they had the one series midweek against Tampa and then they went on a longer road trip. So they waited for this upcoming weekend. Hopefully the rain stays away.
Yeah. So, That place is going to be electric. You expect a record-breaking cup snake.
Yeah.
Regardless of where you stand on those, like I know we'll be watching for it. So
yeah, let people have fun. How about that? Don't go near it. You don't have to.
Yeah.
So we could transition over to the Cubs because, you know, the White Sox are off today. Hopefully they get their shit together going into the weekend. Got a favorable schedule, I would say, but that doesn't mean jack shit in Major League Baseball, as we know. Are we worried about the Cubs?
I mean, they lost first place to Milwaukee over this past week. To say worried, I don't know. Because now you look at Kyle Hendricks, you know, we were worried a while ago, but he's been lights out. He's been awesome. It's more the consistency with Jake Arrieta and Zach Davies. And that's the word, consistency. Like, so
Jake Arrieta has been consistently bad.
Yeah. No, he put last week we were talking, he put like a couple good games together in a row, and now he puts a couple shitty games together. So it's like,
they're talking about taking him out of the rotation now.
Yeah. I mean,
but Kyle Hendricks, he's been kind of dragging that rotation along.
Mm-hmm. Two straight games without a run given up, I believe.
Yeah. I'll say I'm worried about the Cubs because they have a long stretch down the rest of the season. These issues that they're dealing with internally with contract and all that, I don't think I can't see them overcoming it.
Frank says Davies is dog meat. Did not live up to expectations at all. And yeah, I've been backing Zach Davies all season long, and he'll put together a solid game, then he'll suck. And then he'll put together a solid game and then he'll suck. It just seems like the sucks hit harder than the solid games.
Yeah, I mean, and if they had Yu Darvish right now at the front of that rotation with Hendricks behind him and then whoever you want to throw in as the three, probably Edbert Alzolay, and then if you have Jake Arrieta as number four or whatever, I would say that team's outlook on the season is probably a little bit better.
And it affects the matchups as well. If you have Yu Darvish going up against another team's, you know, top guy opposed to Hendrick, then you have a Hendricks going up against a team's like, you know, 2A, then that could totally affect the way the whole pitching matchup and your schedule plays out.
Yeah. Kyle Hendricks would get the ball in game one, but then who do you go to in game two, three, four? Like, yeah. It's a scary inconsistency going on with the Cubs right now. They're either so hot or so cold, and you have to wonder how long before the so cold buries them a little too far.
Yeah, we saw you know, recently we saw them play Miami, which I'm surprised you're not wearing that hat. You decided to wear it yesterday but not today. Here it comes. Yep. Hold on, I lost my Cubs thing. Yeah, I said 2-1, and you said 2-1. We said 2-1, it ended up being 1-2. But those two losses, like, Miami was hitting the ball, and that was the Arrieta and Zach Davies start. So,
yeah. I'm ready.
You're ready?
Yeah, I truly believe there's a chance that the first Major League Baseball player active on this show plays for the Miami Marlins right now. I'll let the fans – I said this yesterday on Crosstown – or on Bardown – but, yeah, the Marlins, they're like one of those teams that, like, they'll either stink it up or they will
put 10-plus runs on,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly, against decent pitchers.
Yeah. Like,
we can rip on Zach Davies all we want. He's a good pitcher. He's a good major league arm. Like, he's not ass.
Yeah, Santiago says the Cubs' problem is that the players know the organization wants to dismantle the team.
Yeah, how do you play knowing what their offseason intentions were?
Yeah, I mean, you don't think Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez have talked about, like, you know, they're all three, like, in the same boat. Like, they know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, think about in like a real job or even something like this show. Like, would you put your whole heart and soul into this show if you had a feeling that you'd be booted off in 3 months?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Or like if you worked your daytime job and you were like going to put all this effort in only for them to show you the door in November.
Exactly.
And so the fact that they've been this good with these issues has kind of spoken volumes to the players.
Yeah, and it's I'm not going to say it's going to get much easier moving forward.
we got breaking news. Joey Elda wants to talk to you after the show. So, yikes. Okay. Hot seat, Joey, cool throne, Vinny. Yeah, but for real, the Cubs, like, I don't know what to think of them. They're like the most inconsistent team in the, they're like, it's hard to describe what they are.
Yeah, I think every Cubs fan would be lying if deep down they truly believe they think they can win the World Series this year. Do you agree? I mean, I don't think they can.
No, I think the Dodgers or Padres would absolutely smoke them.
Yeah, or the
even beat them.
Even the Giants, I think.
Yeah, the Mets, the Giants. How about the Braves? I still fear the Braves.
Yeah,
they're like the most underground, like sneaky team. If they went on a run in the second half, and it's kind of the hot thing to do in Atlanta right now, is just be average or below average, like a couple months into the season, and then go on a run, and now you're in the Final Four. Looking at you, Atlanta Hawks. They were like 14-20 at one point, and now they're in the Final Four with a series lead. They got the Dodgers, who we just mentioned, coming up after beating the Cleveland Indians in their most recent game, but it was a 1-1 series split. They helped out the White Sox a little bit there.
Yeah, which we had. We each said that, so we got that right.
Yeah, it's about time we get something right.
Yeah.
4 games against the Dodgers. The only Dodger starter they're not facing is Trevor Bauer. So you got Zach Davies against Walker Buehler in game 1. In game 2, it's going to be Jake Arrieta against Tony Gonsolin. And then in game 3, you got Julio Urias against Alec Mills, which is kind of scary. In game 4, it'll be Clayton Kershaw versus Albert Alzolay. That should be an outstanding game. That's when you throw on the computer if you're playing poker with your cousins on a Sunday night.
A Sunday night baseball, ESPN.
Yeah, exactly. That, like, there's a reason you got Alzolay going up against, you know, one of the greatest pitchers ever. So I'm all in on this Cubs-Dodgers series. I think it's going to be a ton of fun. My record for the series, I think, is going to surprise you.
I'm ready for it. You said that that game, the other game was scary. I think the game with Walker Buehler versus Zach Davies, Walker Buehler hasn't lost a game yet this year, has he?
Yeah, I would have to look at his record. I'm not sure. But I got the Cubs going 2-2 against the Dodgers here.
2-2. I agree with Santiago. He says bet on the Dodgers every game. The Dodgers are coming off a 4-0 sweep on the Padres.
No, I also got swept by the Padres.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I just worded that like an idiot. Yeah, they got swept by the Padres. They're gonna come to play. Dodgers Stadium. This is bad news for Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the Cubs in games 2 and 3 of the series.
So you're going 2-2 for the series?
Yeah.
I'm saying 1-3. I'm on the fence between 1-3 and swept.
Wow. So you're down on the Cubs right now.
I am very down on
the Cubs. I'm down on the Cubs right now, too, to be honest with you. I don't like what I've seen over the last 2 weeks, but I mean, the Dodgers and the Cubs, when they get together, it's a little bit – it hits different.
I'm saying 1-3 just because, like, I mean –
one, like, yeah, funky happens. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I got 2-2. What about the Brew Crew following that? Because that'll lead up to our following show, our next show.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge series because, like I said, the Brewers just took over first place in the division. The Cubs are only half a game back, so we'll see how the Dodgers series plays out. And I don't know who the Brewers play this weekend. Let me look real quick. But that'll be a big factor on, you know, what happens in that series. I don't know. I think the Cubs are going to probably have a bounce back series because I don't think things are going to go well against the Dodgers series in LA. And then they go to Milwaukee. But I look at that kind of as a bounce back series, like, you know, let's climb back toward first place. So I'm going to say 2-1 in that series.
Okay. That's a decent prediction. I do think these next week and a half will change the Cubs from buyers to sellers and vice versa. But I mean, it's three straight series on the road, and these two are pivotal because the Brew Crew's right there with them for the top of the division. And then there's, of course, the Dodgers, who are the defending World Series champions and have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. And arguably the best one on their staff, or second best. I don't know who you would take between Bueller and Bauer. Kershaw all time, of course, but in 2021, I'd probably take Bauer, and that's the one they're not going to face. So kind of a bit of luck on that. I got them going 1-2 against the Brew Crew. So 2-2 against the Dodgers and 1-2 against the Brewers.
And just to note, the Brewers are playing a weekend series against the Colorado Rockies. So going into that Brewers series after coming off this Dodgers series, I'm kind of expecting the Cubs to be, you know, three and a half games back of first place. So that series with the Brewers is going to be very important for them.
Absolutely. And if I don't pick the Brewers to win the series, my friends at Reviewing the Brew, I think it's Reviewing the Brew is Fansided's Brewers page. I'm good friends with those guys. We work together a lot. I can't not pick the Brew Crew.
Yeah.
Just kidding. That's not the reason why. But
I'm just picking the Cubs because, like, it's going to be such an important series for them.
And they show up in those series so far this season.
Exactly. And coming off this Dodgers series, like, I think the Dodgers are going to be looking at this series as an important series for them. You know, they're trying to catch San Francisco. They're coming off of getting swept to the Padres, one of their rivals. It's going to be an angry Dodgers team who wants to bounce back at home.
Absolutely. So that leads to my follow-up question to talking about both Chicago baseball teams. They're both 4-6 in their last 10 after a slumpy weekend. Whose slump out of the two is more telling?
The Cubs.
Why?
The Cubs haven't been as consistent as the White Sox, and this slump needs to be taken with a grain of salt for the White Sox because we kind of saw it coming. I saw it coming. I said going into Houston, Houston was hot going into it. It was in Houston, and the Astros are the real deal. So you kind of have to take a series like that with a grain of salt. And the White Sox are a better team.
Yeah, I kind of played devil's advocate when I asked you why. I couldn't agree more. I mean, people know me as the White Sox guy.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cubs just aren't as good of a team as the White Sox right now. And that's just kind of a fact. Like, the roster's deeper on the White Sox. They're very injured, and they've still stayed afloat. So it makes you wonder what they would look like if they weren't injured. Every team has injuries. It's like a record-setting year for injuries in Major League Baseball. But I don't know. I just think that I'm not worried about the Sox. Like, they're going to go on another slump, and I'm still not going to care at some point this season because the 05 White Sox lost 7 in a row at one point, and they blew a 14-game lead in the division in September. And then they swept Cleveland in the final series of the season, won the division, and then won on that magical run. I just don't think that there's much merit to losing a couple in a row to a hot Houston team, because if Houston would have played the White Sox at home a week prior, the White Sox would have smoked them. There's not a single doubt in my mind. So it was a matter of being hot at home, and I don't know. The Cubs they're losing to everyone
lately. Not to mention, like, you know, some of their best players being hurt.
Yeah, I mean, how would the Cubs be doing if Bryant and Baez were out? Because that's what the White Sox are dealing with, right?
I would rather have been the Cubs going 1-5 against the Astros and Pirates opposed to the Cubs going 2-3.
You mean the White Sox going?
Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean. The way I have it written down here is hard for me to read and process what I'm trying to say, but the Astros are the real deal. We all know I think that. And I'm not saying like you have an excuse because it was a good team. You need to be able to beat good teams, but I think the White Sox can do that. So you just have to take that one, you know, June series in Houston when the Astros are playing good baseball and the White Sox are a little hurt with a grain of salt.
And there are intangibles to look at that help show that the White Sox slump was kind of an anomaly. The Cubs pitching's awful. Kyle Hendricks is dragging a pretty dog shit rotation right now, and even he's in the high threes. The White Sox have Carlos Rodon still under two. Lance Lynn's just a tick above two, and it took a couple games where he gave up three to get that over two. And, you know, it'll probably stay where it is right now, give or take a couple points over the season. Dylan Cease is hit or miss. You know, we see elite from him. We see struggles from him. When his changeup's on, he's a very effective pitcher with his knuckle curve and fastball. Dallas Keuchel, he worries me when he plays high contact teams like Houston. But when he plays lots of other teams, I like the way Dallas pitches. And then there's Lucas Giolito. So when Lucas Giolito has the highest ERA on the team, you probably have a pretty good rotation, even if he is quote unquote struggling, which by the time the playoffs roll around, I do expect him to be a little bit better than he's been so far. I'm not fully on the worry train with Giolito yet, but the car has been started.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, the Cubs, they need to get it together quickly. The White Sox need to just get healthy.
Yep. And that'll come. That'll just come with time.
Absolutely. So you want to move it over to MLB real quick before we head out?
Yeah, for sure.
The umpires are at it again. They're checking guys. It started on Monday, was when the rule officially went into effect, and we saw Jacob deGrom get checked after an inning, and he didn't really give too much of a pout, even though it was, like, pretty obvious that it's just Jacob deGrom being Jacob deGrom. And, you know, they're checking the belt, the hat, the mitt to make sure there's no substance on you. But then shit got really funny when we got to Max Scherzer and Sergio Romo, because those guys borderline had meltdowns when they were inspected. What's your take on the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be annoying for these pitchers, right? Especially in the Max Scherzer situation. Like, we saw the Phillies coach get involved, and then Scherzer walked off the field and just stared at him, and then Phillies coach comes out and, you know, has some words and gets tossed. But it's gonna end up getting ridiculous if, like, you know, we're stopping the game to check these guys, and they're gonna get frustrated. Like, check them quickly before the game if you want to, and then you don't got to keep checking them every inning, and, you know, it's gonna get annoying.
The fact that coaches are now able to ask.
Yeah.
Because what if Los is in the middle of a no-hitter in the fifth inning, and after the second out of the inning, the coach on the other team goes, "Up, oh, we want him checked." And they check him, and then the next pitch he gives up a hit because his momentum was thrown off.
Exactly.
Like, I do believe stuff like that is going to start to come into play. Now, one thing a lot of people don't realize, you can check out someone I'd love to have on this show, John Boy. He did a video about the whole – Max Scherzer, Joe Girardi thing. Joe Girardi was not yelling at Max Scherzer. A lot of people think he was. He was not. He was yelling at one of the assistant coaches on Philly, who also happened to be an assistant coach with Girardi in New York, and they won a World Series together. And you could see it when John Boy breaks it down. Now, Max was trying to get the attention of one Joe Girardi, of course. But Joe Girardi wasn't engaging with Scherzer. He was actually engaging with it was one of the assistant coaches. I want to say it was the catching coach, but I can't confirm that completely.
Interesting. But yeah, and then Sergio Romo.
Sergio Romo just dropping his pants.
Yeah, who I've been a huge fan of, you know, back in those 2012 and 2014 Giants teams. So I was a fan of his. I still am. And, like Mark Harmon said, it's for us, it's entertaining.
Yeah, and he literally got down to, like, his sliding shorts at one point. He was going to walk off the field, and the umpire was like, "Dude, you don't got to do that." But he did that. So, yeah, I think it's crazy. I can't believe that this is where we are. Baseball's imploding on itself, and they got diehards like us. We're always going to watch. But if you got the choice between baseball doing this kind of bullshit and, like, the exciting things that are going on in the NFL, or, you know, sweet overtime games like we had between the New York Islanders and Tampa Bay Lightning yesterday, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Together baseball.
Yeah, I mean, we're forgetting what that October baseball is like.
I'm not saying I'm ever going to give up on baseball. I wouldn't host a show and put my whole life and soul into it being my work where I literally make a living off of it if I didn't love it like that. I'm saying for like the other people.
It'll get better. It'll get better.
You know, like,
who knows if we'll have like juiced balls again in the playoffs.
I miss juiced balls because then if guys' spin rates wouldn't matter, essentially, because more guys would just run into one and put it on Pluto. And in my opinion, home runs and strikeouts are the two coolest things in baseball, but that's just one man's opinion.
Maybe we're going to see a modern-day revolution with the baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. You got anything left on the sticky shit?
No, I mean, we'll see what new stories there are next week. I'm sure there will be plenty.
This is our third week in a row talking about sticky shit.
Yeah, right?
I'm trying to think. You like sticky buns? Sticky cheese?
Sticky cheese.
Never mind.
Are you trying to think of things that are sticky that I like?
Yeah. Like, what would be your sticky substance of choice?
If I was a pitcher?
Yeah.
And it was I want to try the spider tack. I'm still like, I'm still trying to like get it.
Yeah, I mean, and we can make a funny video too. If we were able to pick up some spider tack.
There it is. I know it's like, it seems like it's old news now, but I want to try spider tack.
It really looks like a brown spider web.
Part of me wants to use it for what it was designed for, and I want to like go work out with it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I would too.
Like maybe I can lift, maybe I can, you know, up my bench or something with some spider tack. I don't know. Who knows?
Tell the people what you bench so they can laugh and not believe you.
That's irrelevant.
Dodgers, we mentioned it. They got swept by the Daddies.
Yeah.
Quick on that series.
Yeah, not much else to talk about. I mean, the Padres are also like that. Those top three teams in that division, it's a treat to watch when they play each other. And that's part of the reason why I think the Cubs are kind of screwed, because the Dodgers, they're an elite baseball team, in my opinion, the best. And they are not going to not answer against the Cubs.
Yeah, and the Cubs had their way with them at Wrigley. So there's two reasons for the Dodgers to be mad right now. They're mad because the Cubs got the best of them at Wrigley, and they're mad because they're literally coming off a dreadful series.
Yeah.
The San Diego Daddies.
Yeah.
So
we'll switch off here. We each got a player thing, and we'll go back and forth. I'll start with I just want to mention Yu Darvish became the fastest player in MLB history to reach 1,500 strikeouts. He did that in 197 games played, passing Garrett Cole, who did it in 2012 games played, and Randy Johnson, who did it in 206 games played. I think I said 2012. 212 Garrett Cole did it. And so, I mean, that's a lot of strikeouts in a short amount of time. So good to you, Darvish.
Yeah, for sure. You, Darvish is great. If only the Cubs didn't trade him away for a bag of dirt. And some sticky tack. When Cubs could use some sticky tack right now, actually, spider tack from their four of their five rotation pieces. The player I wanted to talk about was Wander Franco. Wander Franco is the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball, according to every prospect ranking in the world. And he made his debut with the Tampa Bay Rays against the Boston Red Sox on Wednesday? No, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
And he was amazing. Like, he got a hit. He hits a tall fields. He hit a home run for his first major league hit. And this is going to make some of us feel old. It's even going to make me feel old, and I'm not very old. He was the first player in Major League Baseball history to play as a 2001 born child. What's your take on Wander Franco?
They still lost the game. Go Red Sox.
Came back. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's incredible. I also saw, I don't have this written down and I really can't credit wherever I saw this, so I'm sorry. But I saw somewhere on Twitter, he is like the youngest player since 1990 something to make his MLB debut batting in the one or two spot. It was an absurd stat that like really doesn't matter, but it's just kind of cool. Yeah, shows his age. So yeah, being born in 2021, that makes me feel old, and I'm not even that old. So
yeah, 2001. That means he was what, 4 when the White Sox won the World Series. So that's crazy to me.
Just born the year the Diamondbacks won.
Yeah, and the Bartman thing, he was like 2.
Yeah,
and those are like some of my earliest sports memories. So the seeing him succeed whenever these top prospects make their debut, like the number one guy in the sport, it's always a big deal. Like, you remember when Yoan Moncada was that guy? He's lived up to the hype. He's probably the White Sox best player. I think of people like Bryce Harper, who was that type of prospect. I mean, these guys, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he's an MVP front runner now. Like, Wander Franco is going to be one of those dudes.
Another guy who, a little segue here. Are you done?
Yeah.
Ronald Acuna Jr.
Exactly.
He joined a very impressive list this past week. The names that he joined: Ken Griffey Jr., Mike Trout,
Hall of Fame eventually,
Alex Rodriguez,
probably not Hall of Fame, but for different reasons,
Andrew Jones,
Hall of Fame, I think.
I don't really know who that is. I'll be honest.
You got to look up it, dude. I want to admit that.
Yeah, Andrew Jones, yeah. He joined that list of, you know, phenomenal baseball players to be a player with 100-plus home runs and 70-plus stolen bases before turning age 24. And I actually got that stat from MLB Stats on Twitter. So there's your credibility.
Yeah, I looked it up. Andrew Jones is not actively in the Hall of Fame right now. He was on the ballot, which I remember. He might come up just short. He has a 62.7 career WAR. I know 69 is generally the nice little range that they like to use as a baseline for Hall of Famers. But, you know, he does have 10 gold gloves, a silver slugger, 5-time All-Star, a career 823 OPS. So, I mean, guy's got shit ton of RBIs, 1,200 RBIs. He's probably going to come just short of a Hall of Famer, but...
But yeah, Ronald Acuna Jr., we'd love to see, you know, what he continues to do in his career. And they got something special cooking up in Atlanta. And I'm sure we'll make our way over to a Braves game at some point. We got some friends over there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I still think they're going to go on a run. I'm high on the Braves. They've kind of been disappointing so far this season. I had them in the NLCS. I don't remember my exact pick on the blog, but they were definitely going far for me. I want to address one comment in the comment section.
I wonder if it's the comment that I'm looking at, because I'm salivating.
For a Rico Benet's breaded steak sandwich. Oh, my God. That is some of the most delicious stuff you can ever eat in your whole life. If you've never been to Rico Benet after or before a White Sox game, you got to get there. Me and Joey were both kind of on the healthy side these days. It shows a little more on him than me lately. But when, on a day that we splurge, that's a place to go.
I know we got plans already this weekend with our eating plans. We kind of have some stuff set in stone. Let's say the rain fucks us and we have no choice but to just eat down there. I think we need a Rico Benet's breaded steak sandwich. I haven't had one since we saw the Bears play the Rams, was it? And yeah,
it's definitely a possibility for Saturday.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to meet up with me and Joey, you know, we'll be around the whole weekend. I know the South Burbs Hitmen guys, we're going to meet them on Friday, and make sure you check out the games. You know, it's 100% capacity for the first time since 2019. It's been tough. But, you know, we're back, baby.
Yeah. Now all that we need to wait for is guys to get healthy and then go on that run that I'm certain will happen.
Absolutely. And make sure you watch South Burbs Hitman every Monday night at 7:45 Central. And, you know, follow all the shows on the Barroom. Every show is so sweet. The Bulls just forfeited their first draft pick because of the Vucevic trade. That kind of stunk. But, you know, I'm sure those guys will have plenty to talk about once the weekend rolls around. The Bears, we're kind of just in like that boring part of summer when it comes to football. I know OTAs are starting to get underway, but we'll be back soon enough. Football, it'll be back soon enough. Plenty of baseball. Make sure you watch Bar Down Blackhawk Talk next Wednesday, where we're going to have stuff on the Stanley Cup Final. We don't know who it's going to be yet, but, you know, we're getting close to finding out.
Could very well be game one. And just to say, I'm happy that both series are kind of like going the distance. Like, we don't have a series that was swept. We got, you know, we could potentially get two game sevens in the semifinals leading up to the Stanley Cup finals. So we got a treat in store in the hockey world.
Absolutely. And make sure you're following at Joey Parisi and at Vinny Parisi on Twitter, just so you can keep up with all this stuff. If you're not watching it live, plenty of hockey tweets. I got the blogs. It's all going. So part of three shows on the Barroom Network now, which is fun. You got anything else before we head out?
No, I'm excited for this weekend. Hopefully rain, stay away. Stay away, rain.
Rain, rain. My weekend. I will cancel the shit out of Brant Miller and every weather person who ever lived. I'll be done with them forever. I'm trying to watch some White Sox baseball at 100% capacity. Get out of my face with this rain bullshit.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to promote? Tell people what you're doing?
Yeah. At Joey Parisi on Twitter. I know I said I tweet more. It's just, I don't know. I suck at it. It's not my thing. I don't tweet. I tweet when I tweet. So think of my tweets as a privilege. They come when they come. I don't tweet often, but when I do tweet, you follow me.
Joey's such a clown. It's like you think the most interesting man in the world. Like, oh, I don't always tweet, but when I do, it's gold.
It's actually not that good. I tweet like two word things. Like,
yeah, and then when I retweet you, that's when it like gets a bunch of likes.
Yeah. Shout out to the Barroom Network for ruining my day today with a video from some dummy fan at the TD Garden in 2013 when the Hawks scored two goals in 17 seconds. And, you know, the rest is history.
Yep, that stunk for you and kind of for me too. But that's how it is. You know, Stanley Cup Final, baseball. We'll be there at the stadium. You know how to find us on Twitter if you want to say hello, whatnot. Buy Joey a beer. Buy me a beer.
No, buy me a beer. I need it with my picks lately.
I challenge someone to buy me and Joey a beer at Guaranteed Rate Field just to, like, because you watch the show.
Or I challenge that too.
Yeah, we'll see if we ever get to that point.
Big fan of the I'm excited, Goose Island White Sox ale right now. Ooh.
Oh yeah, can't wait.
Those White Sox cans.
Weather. We said this 1,000 times, but make sure you check it out. Make sure you're following both of us on Twitter. You can follow at DoWindyCityFS on Twitter, at Sox Showdown on Twitter. That's where you'll find all Chicago sports stuff from me and Mark Carmen. Thank you to him for joining us. It was a lot of fun. Make sure you check out his work at The Carm on Twitter. And for Joey, I'm Vinny. Thank you for listening.